Hello, everyone. This is Nan, and welcome to week three. Week three. who's there?
This is Diane.
Hi, Diane. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Very busy at work. Good.
Oh, I hear you. And who else is there?
Hi, Nan. This is Jaylene.
Hi, Jaylene. How are you doing?
Good.
Good to hear your voice. Who else is there?
Kathleen is
here.
Oh, I heard Kathleen. Yes. Kathleen, welcome. Hello.
Hello.
And who else?
Demetrius.
Hi, Demetrius. Welcome. Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Anyone else checking in?
Hi, this is Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. Good morning. Anyone else there? Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Great, thanks.
Good. Welcome.
Thank you.
So I haven't heard Krista, Mary Beth, Rebecca, Sandra, Veronica, or Becca. All right. Well, let's get going, and hopefully they can check in later when they get here. So you had a lot of homework to do this past week, and I'm just wondering how that went for you. Did anybody write What Makes Me Who I Am?
Nan?
Uh-huh.
This is Jaylene, and it was a lot, but for myself, what I did was I ended up dictating it. I ended up using voice recording instead of writing it because it was easier. And for me, that was really helpful because I think I paid more attention to details, like when it said, describe your perfect day.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe what I was coming up with when I was speaking it versus if I had written it. So that's how I got through it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you did it. You did it all.
Well, I did as much as I could without feeling like, you know, it was overwhelmed, but it really helped because I was just surprised.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea because it's true. Sometimes all of that writing can be a little bit overwhelming. I'll have to, I'm going to have to steal that idea. And offer it in the future. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. If writing it down isn't possible. So what was your favorite, Jaylene, of all the ones that you did then? Did you have a favorite?
I think the day, the perfect day, really made an impact for me. And and also the values, when I did the values, I looked at the list and I thought, this is a lot of words.
Mm-hmm.
And so at first I was overwhelmed, but then I thought, I'm just going to do it, commit to it. And then I was surprised by that too, at how grouping them really helped me see my values. And I wouldn't have said the words that I chose. If you had asked me, what are your values?
Mm-hmm.
I would have said different words than the ones I chose to head up the categories. So I even surprised myself, and I identify more with the words I chose to head up the categories. And so I really like that exercise, and I like the perfect day.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. That's a great share. I appreciate that. Who else would like to share? Was there one exercise that you like doing over some of the others? or how did it feel? Share your feelings. How did it feel for you to be writing down some of these things? Jaylene said she experienced some surprises. Anyone else experience any surprises?
This is Diane. It wasn't so much about surprises as I really struggled with the difference between what my life is now and like what the perfect thing would be and all of that, because I hadn't really taken the time to do that, and it was hard. It was really hard.
Mm-hmm. And so was there a big discrepancy that you found?
In some things, yeah. So there was, and I don't want to share that over the phone, but
no, that's fine.
It's personal, but yeah. On what would it be like to have your perfect blank?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I used was what I really wanted, and what I had was very different.
Mm. And so, how will that be helpful for you to have seen those differences?
I think it's going to open up some opportunity for discussion and for reframing my priorities and values.
Mm. That's awesome. You know, I mean, that really is the purpose of examining, you know, how you're living now between how you want to live. It really gives you a great idea for goal setting, for example, you know, and creating a vision so that you can work backwards from your vision and then start initiating some goals for making change. That's the whole purpose of the exercise, and I'm so glad that you found it that way so that, you know, you can start living the way you want to live. So I'm really happy to hear that, Diane. Thank you. I heard a couple of beeps, some people checking in.
Mary Beth from Pennsylvania. Sorry I'm late. The weather was bad here.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you for being here. I guess the storms are coming, aren't they?
Yes.
And Veronica.
And Veronica, hello.
Yeah, I had problems dialing in.
Did you?
I tried to do it automatically, and it wouldn't, but then I had to manually put in the number, and then it worked for some reason. I don't know.
You know, it's technology. When you work with technology, you have to expect challenges from time to time, that's for
sometimes, sure. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you persevered, and glad to have you. Good.
We're just
reviewing the homework from last week, and how helpful it is to be writing down those values and ethics statements in terms of helping us to understand ourselves better, helping us to understand the reasons that we make the decisions that we do and take the actions that we do. I've always found it really, really helpful to be able to identify values in play, because they do have they do change in priority, and you know, they're over our lifetime. Sometimes our values might change completely. What we valued in our youth, you know, we may no longer value in mid-age or in late stage of life. And also, you know, we might look back and think, you know, I had some distorted values back then, and be, you know, be able to pick out I took some actions or I thought some things and, you know, I'm not pleased with myself about it. I believed it to be right at the time. And so I think it's really helpful to be able to look deep inside and understand exactly who we are, what makes me who I am. It's interesting because I have my what makes me who I am, the unique character traits and strengths and skills and talents and so forth. I have it on my bulletin board in a page protector because I find at times when I'm maybe starting to listen to that negative self-talk, when those limiting beliefs, you know, are taking shape and I'm aware of it, I find it very helpful to read that document and it helps me to believe in myself again because for me, those are my truths about myself. And so, I find it very helpful. I have my values statement and ethics statement on my website. I have a mission statement for my business and a value statement for my business so that people who visit my site and want to know about me can read my mission statement and my vision and, you know, get who I am, get where I'm coming from. So for any of you who have websites, that's perhaps a tab you can add to your site. Or where are other places where you would think to perhaps print out your mission statement or your ethics and value statement?
This is Diane. It could be on your business
yeah.
card. It's, you know,
ooh. Mm-hmm.
It's business related.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
This is Jaylene. I think I would like to put that as a screensaver on my phone.
What a great idea. Oh, what a great idea.
I could
yeah.
use it often.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah, you can come up with some great ideas. You know, you could frame it. And by the way, Jaylene, your idea about using a voice recorder instead of writing, if you ever want to transcribe anything that you've recorded, a good transcription service is temi.com, T-E-M-I.com. Your first transcription is free. And all you do is just send them, you know, a copy of the recording that you want transcribed. And they send it back to you, and you can even take out all the ums and ahs and everything. And it's very, I think it's one of the most inexpensive of the transcription services. So if any of you want to start doing as Jaylene did and use the voice recording instead of writing, then if there's anything that you do want to print out, you can use that service.
Thanks.
Welcome. Okay, so anyone else want to share before we move on to our discussion for the day?
I found it, this is Veronica, I found it was a really useful exercise. I mean, I have values and ethical, professional values and so on statements that I work by. But I never did it for my personal life. And that was really, really helpful.
Oh, good.
You know?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, something I'm going to do, I didn't do this in one of the things we needed to write about, but ask some of my friends and family about the three things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to do that, so I'm going to do that. Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good for you. Well, this is it. I mean, all of these exercises, if you didn't get to all of them this past week, you can do them at any time, obviously. And, you know, for those of you who are coaches, these questions, these kind of exercises can be used one-on-one with your clients as well. So especially, you know, these days with COVID, a lot of people are starting to question, where are they going to go from here?
Mm-hmm.
And so inviting them to go inward and discover themselves, you know, before they turn outward to this new world, then it could be very helpful.
Yeah, that's why I took this actually, because I wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. You know, it's very interesting because I have I wasn't going to talk about this until the end. I will be making what I'm going to do. Is license this workshop, and so for a small annual license fees, and I've got a trainer's manual. You can use all of the exercises, all of the materials. You can present it as a group course using Zoom or one of the formats. And someone also suggested that I white label it so that instead of having my name on it, you can purchase it with the intention of using it as your own. So I'll talk more about that at the end of the course. If you find the materials in this course helpful and think that there's a way that you can use them, then just know that that's available for you. If you want to, look at the materials in a different way, not only for your own purpose, if you can imagine yourself facilitating the course the way that I am. So, today we're going to talk about what happens when values are in conflict. Has anyone ever had that happen?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. And so what kind of conflict was it? An internal conflict for you or conflicting with someone else?
Well, this is Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
So in my work as a therapist, you are supposed to, of course, you value confidentiality and so on. But if you hear something that is dangerous to someone or someone else, you have to mm-hmm. break that confidentiality.
Yeah. Yes. And I mean, that's true. That's true of anyone. Years and years ago, the organization when I was an executive director ran a 24-hour telephone helpline, and we promised confidentiality, and we had to put it right out there if you, you know, if you tell us something that could mean danger to you or others, we will have to report it. Because confidentiality has to have a limit, because we're not, you know, the priest and confession, the lawyer client privilege, those are mandated by law that they cannot be violated, and doctor patient. Our mandates for as a therapist or as a consultant, as a coach, those are not protected by law. So that's a very important mandate that all of you who are coaches or consultants, or if you have your own therapy practice, make sure that that is in your policies, that addendum to confidentiality.
Actually, we state it up front.
Yes, before you even get your clients to sign an agreement, make sure that that is in there and highlighted, so that there's no and often when someone wants to confide in you, they often start with the words, "Can I tell you something?" Do you find that, Veronica?
Not really. People just kind of disclose and you follow what you hear, you know, because they're there to tell, so they tell, right?
I just found that often if someone's going to tell you something that they're nervous about, or, you know, they want to make sure that it's going to be confidential. And so that's when I make sure that, you know, if someone says, can I tell you something? You can say, yes, absolutely. And if it's something that's going to, you know, be causing danger to you or others, I'm obligated to report it. Just so that, you know, if they give you notice, you give them notice back again.
Sometimes people will say to me, "I don't want this in the chart because I work in doctor's offices. I don't want the doctor to know this," but it's often not anything. It's just something very personal, not anything, right?
Okay. So we've got, I've put out a few scenarios. And the first one is about that exact issue, that when someone wants to tell you something in confidence and you've promised, you know, and honesty is an important value to you, when someone could be in harm's way, then that value has to take a lesser priority. You know, that pledge of confidentiality and that honesty, it, as I say, the values have priorities that change depending on circumstance. So I gave an example of Sally and Debbie, where Debbie hates, or Sally hates what Debbie is wearing. And she's worried that Debbie's going to end up perhaps being embarrassed by her outfit, if she tells that her friend that she doesn't like her outfit. So there's that conflict. If you were in that situation, if you had a friend in that situation, what would you do about it?
If the friend didn't ask for my opinion,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say any. I mean, it's her choice,
mm-hmm.
you know. And people are entitled to their choices. I don't have to agree with her style of dress,
mm-hmm.
right? So if she didn't ask, you know,
mm-hmm.
Why should I just burst their bubble, so to speak?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I felt about it too. Did anyone have any different thoughts or
Yes. This is Jaylene.
Yes.
And I had the thought that if it was just that I personally didn't like it, then
mm-hmm.
I should definitely stay quiet. But if it was in some way, if what she was wearing in some way would hurt her image in a way that she wouldn't want it to be hurt, I guess I'd, like, for example,
mm-hmm.
if she was going to maybe an interview or
mm-hmm.
something, and I felt that it would help her to know, then in that case, I'd feel like I was protecting her. But I would only say something if the outcome was to help her, and not in a mean way, help her meet my standards, but
mm-hmm.
if she's a good friend, to help her avoid a bad situation type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
Or if her skirt was way, way so short that it would be, people would be making fun of her or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
I like that example
exactly.
of the interview, though. Yeah. So if somehow would damage
then,
her reputation or...
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it would matter how you go about asking her the questions or how you put it out there.
Yeah.
Right? That would make a difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
This is Diane. One of the things what I'm seeing is that it really depends upon the context.
Mm-hmm.
And what we consider in one situation may not be what we do in another situation.
Absolutely. Yes. And there are people who don't get that. I know I gave the example of honesty. That there are some people who brag. I know someone like that, brags about they're always honest. They always tell the truth, you know, even though the truth might be hurtful to someone, you know, they are proud of the fact that they are always true to themselves. They are always authentic in their truthfulness and honesty. And, you know, I just, when I think of this person and I think, be proud of honesty, also be mindful though of people's feelings or what the consequences of the truth mm-hmm. might be. You know, if you know a truth about someone and telling that truth, you know, outing someone's sexuality, for example, that's just being hurtful for the sake of hurting someone. So I just use that as an example of context, that we have to be very mindful of which of our values are going to take priority in certain situations. And obviously, I mean, look at the examples that we've had. They can't always be the same priority, can they?
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that any of you have thought about before? Values taking, you know, having different priorities in different circumstances?
I mean, yeah, because that's how life is, right? We need to be flexible from within our limits and being and sticking to our values, you know. Yeah, there's context, yeah. So, I mean, I believe in honesty, but if someone didn't ask for my opinion, you know, in a kind of neutral situation where it didn't matter about clothing, I mean, I would think they're entitled to their clothing. If in the interview situation, and I knew they were going for an interview, I would ask maybe what kind of interview is it and, you know, some questions to see the context there and how do you think this would come across to the employee, the potential employer? Do you have any concerns about that? Or, you know, just check it out and maybe make a suggestion on that basis, but not unless it's done kindly. And with good intention, not just to recognize honesty, so to speak. Right?
Yeah. So you've got honesty and integrity. You've got kindness to others. You've got
respect. I think respect for the other
person. Respect. That's a yes. That's a very good one too. So. When you look at, you know, just one situation and you're collecting a number of values all coming together in one single scenario. And sometimes it's hard to know what to do because sometimes those values conflict. So there's another scenario of one person's values conflicting with another. Larry and Lily have been married for 10 years and they've got 2 children, except for that one issue that comes up where there's been some bullying in the children's school and Larry believes in standing up to bullies. He wants the kids to learn judo or karate so they can defend themselves if it happens that someone picks on them. And Lily hates fighting, refuses to enroll them in lessons and learning how to fight, and tells the children that fighting is never an option. And Larry's been play fighting with them, teaching them boxing and wrestling moves, and Larry and Linda end up bickering about this, and the arguing is becoming more intense. So, what values do you think Larry is exhibiting?
He's exhibiting self-defense. Self-defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Protection.
This idea of strength. What strength is.
Yeah. What strength
or
is.
Or character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I heard another one and I kind of missed it. Wasn't self-defense? I don't know who said it. Sorry.
Demetrius said self-defense.
Yeah, you said self-defense. I think there was another.
This is Diane. I said protection.
Oh, protection. That was it. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, self-protection. Justice.
Not to be afraid, probably.
Mm.
Not to fear people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To stand up for oneself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what about Lily? What are Lily's values?
I think they're both valuing confidence. It just it means different things to both of them. To him, you know, confidence is standing up for yourself in terms of, you know, being able to defend yourself. And to her, it's having the confidence to walk away.
Yeah, isn't that something? Totally different meanings for the same feeling. Yeah.
So what happens when the bully follows, which they do?
Well, I think, you know, in this situation, when it's happening in the school, my answer is for them to go to the authorities and say, what are the rules about bullying? So that, you know, there's when you bring in a third party, and if there's already a standard set of rules, it's easy then to obey them.
Mm-hmm.
And the school has a zero tolerance. So
I think, though, the greater issue is that because they are so different, it puts the kids in a difficult position, and it's not good, conducive to parenting effectively anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever position they take, they need to take it as a team, right? Because when kids see that divide, it gets worse.
And I think that's, you know, that's a part of relationships, is that if one person has to be right every time, then that can be a problem in the relationship, can't it? You know, if they go to the school and the school says there's zero tolerance on fighting, so that means if a bully were to hit one of their children and their children started to fight back, then both the bully and the victim would be in trouble for fighting.
Right.
And so, you know, the father is going to have to understand, okay, if my kid's going to be in trouble for fighting, then maybe I better back off teaching them to fight and instead learn to follow what the school's rules are about bullying, which would be go and tell a teacher.
And ask the teacher what are they going to do about it, because the problem is they often don't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's going to have to be, that has to be part of the school's, that has to be part of the school's decision-making is what they do about bullying,
Well, and I think that's another value, too, is the, it's a value, I mean, to respect systems or authority or to have faith in institutions is a value.
Yeah.
And depending upon the family's history or depending upon are they, you know, are they children of color? I mean, they could have different values around whether they felt confident in approaching the school administration in the first place.
Absolutely. So when, you know, it's very difficult when one person's values conflict with others, and we are experiencing that right now too with the in the schools. We've got school boards that are conflicting with the governments, and the governments are conflicting with the parents and the teachers, and everyone if everyone says, I am right, then nothing can ever change, can it? There have to be times when we're willing to compromise and try to create a win-win situation for the children.
Maybe if they all had the same values, the values of respect and treating people with dignity and equal access and justice for all, I mean, that would help.
Yes.
But that's not the reality in the school system, for example.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And that's the thing is we don't all have the same values. I mean, look at the number of words on that list that represent judgments, decisions, actions, you know, and even the same word. Look at confidence, you know, and look at how it's demonstrated in different ways. And so these situations are not easy. So in scenario two, I posed a little different question that Larry and Lily's 14-year-old daughter's in high school. And even though she's always been a good girl, Lily and Larry, of course, worry about peer pressure and external influences on her. They check her room when she's not there. They read her journal and track her usage on her computer. And then when Linda finds out about it, they defend themselves. They do it because they worry about her safety and because it's their duty as parents to make sure she stays on the straight and narrow. So Linda, the 14-year-old, wants to put a lock on her bedroom door. So what do you think about what Linda and Larry are doing in order to protect their daughter and keep her safe?
Sounds kind of unethical to me.
Mm.
Personally, I used to work in a group home decades ago, and when it was girls, and sometimes they would get into stuff. And I remember having staff discussions on doing that, going into a room. I was very much opposed to it. If you're going to search somebody's room, let them know. I know there are circumstances where parents feel that they're obligated to do something if a kid has a drug problem or something. But, I mean, to me, it seems like an invasion of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Personally.
Yeah, and there's a question. Does a 14-year-old have a right to privacy?
I think
according to the law, they do.
And I think that, you know, in that situation, I think that you should be strategic when you're dealing with a situation where the value is different than yours. And in that situation, with the parent feeling, I as a parent would go through her room where she could not tell that I went through the room. Okay? I would make her feel that she has privacy. So when I go through the room, that means I'm putting everything back like she had it where she doesn't know.
Uh-huh.
And that's the key is when someone's value is different than yours, you have to be able to at least consider what they're saying. And a lot of people don't because it's just like, this is what I think, this is what I feel. But when I was dealing with my son, you know, as a child, I didn't listen to what he had to say. So to me, that made him feel that at least his thoughts and his concerns were being considered.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll say, well, let me think about it. Let me think about it. And just that alone, I think, helps a child to accept when it, instead of just saying, no, it's not. It's like you're not listening. But
it's important for them to feel heard. Yeah.
Right.
And then when you were saying if you're going through the child's things and you put everything back, so what you're saying is you're elevating safety before privacy?
Yes, because the key is I want my child to feel they have privacy. I want them. If they feel that, then they're free in their own space. If I really want to know what my child thinks and feels, because a lot of times kids are honoring and respecting you so much that you don't really know who they are because they don't let you in on that part. They don't, they know that you do not like it, so I'll make sure you don't know it. So then you're in a vulnerable position because you don't really know your child.
Which happens in adolescence, right? But the thing is, if there was a question of safety and you have grounds to question or be worried about safety, then say, because I'm concerned about your safety, I will be checking your room every now and then. That's how I personally would want to do it. You know?
Oh, initially, I thought she said where if your value different. So just say, you know, we all start out telling them that, yeah, I'm going to be checking the room, and then they let you know they got a problem with it. I think you're invading my privacy, and I think you should trust me. I think you shouldn't have to check my room.
Mm-hmm.
That's a difference of value, right?
Yep. What about the rest of you? What are some other thoughts? How is this discussion valuable to you, or is it?
What I think is interesting about this discussion is just the way you can sort of see the flip side of things in terms of the of two people looking at the same situation and seeing it through the lens of different values. I mean, the thing with the teenager is interesting for me because I have three teenagers, and when my daughter, who's now 20, was 14, we actually had almost this exact scenario in terms of her having, you know, she had a mental health crisis where there were some safety issues involved, and we had to check her room, her bags, her things. And, you know, of course, we did get a lot of pushback from her in the sense of, this is my privacy, you're being disrespectful. And we had to have a lot of conversations about the fact that the real value at play here is not privacy or trust. It is mutual respect. And, you know, yes, we respect you. We respect your space. But that respect stems out of the love that we have for you. And the love supersedes everything, right? And loving you means that we keep you safe, just as you would, you know, do the same for us when we're old, right? So so I think it's just a matter of sort of talking about all those different, all the different lenses that we bring, you know, and trying to find that one value that's sort of with a commonality here, and then sort of using that as the touchstone for all the conversations. It's tricky to tease that out.
Yeah. And what I'm hearing is that the key issue is communication.
Well, definitely.
and keeping those lines of communication open. And that's sometimes difficult with a teenager when they, you know, they speak in one syllable at a time. And yet it's so important to help them to understand values. You know, and maybe that's part of it, is when you can explain to someone the values that are driving your decisions, you know, we talked about the values that they have in this situation, and they're different, and yet they have a common purpose.
Nan,
yes.
I would just like to say, I feel a difference of value in this class.
Oh,
When last week we were talking about self-reflection,
mm-hmm.
and some kind of way the Black Lives Matter situation came up, and I was discussing that, and somebody said, we're getting off the topic. And it came across to me as saying, they don't want to hear about that. And to
no.
me,
oh,
well,
I think you misheard.
Yeah.
Let me finish how I feel about it. It's like, you know, because we were talking about self-reflection. And what I was saying was, in that situation, in this situation, that's a difference of value. You know, that you may not value Black Lives Matter and some of your left, but if you do, then stop and start with yourself. That's the point I was making. And then for somebody to say, oh, we're getting off the subject, which it came across to me as saying, I don't want to hear about that. And for me, this is an everyday issue in my life. This is an everyday value in my life. So when someone tells me, like, they didn't say that, but that's how I received it, like, I don't want to hear about that. It's just like telling the kid, I'm still going to go to your room, no matter what you think about it or not, I'm still going to go. It comes across as like saying, I don't care what you think or feel. In any relationship, in any situation, to make a person feel valued is important. Children, whatever. Yes, it's your house. Yes, you pay all the bills. But it's, you designated it as their room, as their space. So they feel it's theirs. You know, so to say, oh, well, your room is in my house and it doesn't matter. I get it as a parent, but as a child, to me, that's saying, I don't care what you think or feel. That's invaluable. That makes me feel invaluable. So
can I respond to that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, because I was the one, it's Veronica, I brought up Black Lives Matter. I'm black too. And I also said, because we were going on a bit about it, that I thought we were spending, my intention was we were spending a lot of time on it and getting away from somewhat from what had to be covered in class. It wasn't to say you don't come, because to me, that Black Lives Matter is ultimately important. Part of my life, live it daily. I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of stuff on it. I am active. So it's a question. I'm sorry you interpreted it that way, but I can understand, and because you don't know who I am. So I'm sorry that you felt that way, or that's how it came across to you, because it does matter. But I was just concerned about the passage of time and the fact that we had spent quite a bit of time talking about it, and there was other stuff covered in the course.
Thank you for sharing
it, Veronica.
And I accept your apology. I say I may have received it, but I accept you explaining yourself. I do.
That's wonderful. Because Demetrius, that's how I interpreted what Veronica said, and I don't think it was intended at all to demean you or make you feel that you weren't being valued or that what you were saying wasn't important. Okay, so I'm really glad that you raised this in class and felt comfortable to share that, because it would be terrible for you to continue thinking that you were somehow not feeling respected.
That's why I've been quiet most of this class. I was just like, I'm just going to finish the class and say minimal.
Well,
I'm really glad you brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Veronica.
Yes, because I think that's a shared value in the class, is that everyone hopefully does feel that you can be honest, you know, and say what you want without at the same time respecting other people. So it's I'm glad that you raised that, Demetrius. Thank you. So our third scenario then was values conflicting with organizational values. And I don't know if any of you have experienced what it's like to work in a company where your personal values are different, or maybe the company has no set values. And so the way they operate might be offensive to you, or you just don't agree with the way that they operate. Have any of you ever had an experience like that?
I've had clients with that experience.
Yeah.
And usually they're kind of there in between. They're often looking for another job.
Yes. I was going to say, and that's probably for any of you coaches who've had clients who have, you know, talked about, I hate my job. And that's often the reason, is because, you know, they may not recognize it, but there are conflicting values at the root of the cause.
And it affects people's mental health, because they say, I wake up and I don't want to go into work, or I sit in the parking lot and I wait and talk to myself before I go out, and I, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, and the physical impact of negative stress, you know, just can be horrific. People get headaches, and their muscles, their neck muscles, their shoulder muscles, they're tense all the time. Their backs ache. They don't sleep well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it can really be dangerous for people when they have to go to work to make a living, and hating what they do, hating being there every minute. I can't even imagine what that must be like, the pressure of that. So
this is Diane. I had a very personal experience with this. I was hired by an organization, and it was awesome. I love their values. I love where they were headed. And then the parent company changed everybody in the C-suite. New president, new VP, new everything, and the whole culture changed. And I was miserable. I gained 30 pounds. I mean, I was not happy and depressed. And then a colleague of mine who did searching for jobs, she said, hey, I found something for you. And it was a perfect fit, and I just should turn in my resignation. You know?
Yes, it's, as you say, I mean, the physical and the mental crush of that is just terrible. And it's awful how companies don't see that the way they treat their staff, their employees, you know, when they don't treat them well, when they don't pay them enough, when they don't, they make them work long hours. And this whole new, I think it started back in the, way back in the 90s, that this whole issue of not giving people full-time jobs and instead hiring them as contractors. Mm-hmm. So they could avoid paying benefits.
Right.
You know, when the bottom line starts to become more important than the people who are working for you, making money for you,
that was a concept that started with the government when they started realizing what are jobs that are not specifically governmental, that are more out there in the community, and they started switching over and doing contracting rather than hiring people as government employees. Mm-hmm. And that's where bandwagon started.
Yeah.
Well, I'm dealing with the stress of a job right now where my values are different than theirs, and I
You
guys my situation
the
first week. So I'm currently in that situation right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you're going through legal proceedings, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good for you for fighting back. So,
yeah, I see why people don't, though. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I see why they don't, because it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And basically, I feel like it's me against the whole agency. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's like mm-hmm. they have lawyers. They can all put their heads together and take your information to teach you to what they're trying to say. And then it's me with no legal knowledge, but I got through all of that. It's good.
Yeah.
You know, so now
yeah,
I'm on
good
my...
for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot of companies take advantage of that knowledge and, you know. And so I think, you know, what else can you do? You have that, those are the only two options. Either you fight back the way that you are, or you go and find another job, you know, and hopefully I have a sense that people who are taking this course who will be taking it, for those of you who are coaches, or when you're talking to your friends that they may be out of work due to COVID, that this is the time that people are reflecting and saying, you know, now that I'm not working, maybe this is when I need to look at what kind of work do I need to be doing so that I can be happy in my job.
Right.
You know, and one of the things that they can be doing is, when they're looking for their next employment and you're going for an interview, is to understand that it's a two-way interview. That not only is the employer interviewing you, you are interviewing the employer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe coming up with some questions that are going to help you to understand what their values, what the company values might be. Um, it might be a way of helping people, and when they go forward, although I know, for example, I know of one company who publicizes that they are a family company and have family values, and yet some of the products that they produce are unhealthy, and you know, some of the countries that are producing some of their products are using child labor, and you know, it's really that's difficult too when you have a company that professes ethics and values on the one hand, and yet their actions are displaying conflicting values.
Right. So they have, what they have in writing is different than what's really going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, a company that professes to love its employees and yet does everything it can to prevent them from unionizing if that's what they want to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or not allowing sick leave,
yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. And so,
mm-hmm.
You know, you have to kind of go in with an eye of what's important to you, and do your due diligence and do research on these companies
mm-hmm.
That you want to interview with, or you're thinking about the work that you're thinking about doing. Is it is important that your personal values are aligned with the company that you work for, because it can cause a lot of mental and physical anguish
mm-hmm.
if it turns out differently.
Right.
And I think it's not something that a lot of people do think about. They look at the salaries, you know, and they look at maybe what the benefits are,
mm-hmm.
and they don't think about, am I going to be aligned with this company and what they do, how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're pretty much at the end of our time today. Thank you for the discussion today. I hope that you've found it of value. Just for homework, go back to those exercises in session 2 if you didn't do any of the number 4 exercises where you're asking family members to write down 3 things. And I know, I think Veronica, it was you who
yeah.
said you wanted to go back and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Write down 100 things you would like to do, be, or have, and you'll be surprised at how difficult it is to come up with 100 things.
I was going to say that because I started that.
Did you? Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, you think, oh,
yeah.
100, that's going to be a snap, but when you
uh-huh.
when you actually start it, it's
right.
harder than it looks.
I said this has to be ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And write a letter to yourself from your 90-year-old self. It used to be from your 80-year-old self. I have a letter from my 80-year-old self that I wrote about 10 years ago. But people are living longer now. So make it from your 90-year-old self. And make it, yeah, fully sensory. You know, where are you? As you look around, what are you seeing? What are you touching, tasting, hearing, feeling? You know, what does your life look like? Who are you living with? And looking back on what are you most proud of? Do you have any regrets?
And I think that would be an exercise, like you might be in the grocery store or something and think of something and be like, I'll write that on my list when I get home.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Yes. And it helps you to create a vision. It helps you to, that's your destination, you know, of my 90-year-old self, I want to be sitting where, you know, with whom, it's kind of interesting, and it gives you, as I say, a destination so that, you know, for example, if you want to be, if you want your kids to think of you as a really loving parent, then if you're a workaholic and you're not there for them for events, then you have to open up time for family. So there are habits that you have now that are not going to serve you to make your destiny, then you can start now to change those habits. And then writing a purpose statement. The purpose of my life is to what? And so if you haven't done that yet, then that's your homework for this week, is to come up with a life purpose statement. And I've given you mine there as an example. And so please, too, do the reading for session 4. And we'll discuss all of that next week when we meet again.
Okay, Nan, I would like to say that second Facebook thing you sent me, that one didn't work either.
It still didn't work.
I tried to Google, to search for the group on Facebook, mm-hmm. and I couldn't find it.
Okay, I will try again.
Is it a way, I guess you can't send me an invite from the group on Facebook, maybe, or no?
Yeah, I will try to do
that.
That'll
work better.
Yeah. Do you have a Facebook page?
Yes. So if you could just go to the group and send me an invite from the group on Facebook.
Okay.
And
then
I think I can get it that way.
Okay. Thanks, Demetrius. Absolutely will. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for your participation today. And
thank
I'm looking
you.
Forward to seeing you all next week. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks.